talk about some issues, mostly with us, and that's God's rescue plan, especially for us women. As far as we're concerned, it's God's rescue plan for marriage. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to hear from you today, and we want your standard of how to behave in marriage. Father, I thank you for the men here who will get to hear a woman's heart on the subject and get to hear what submission really means. And Father, for the women here, Father, challenge us. Help us to strive for more of you in our lives and in our marriages. Father, we want to do it your way. We don't want to do it our way. So thank you for your word today, and lead us, Lord. Amen. Yeah, that's the thing that Sue really said to me today. It's really good for men to understand submission. So I really thank you guys for being here today and hearing this. But it's amazing, you know, the women's groups that I've been in the past, how this topic, it's only come up a couple of times, but it kind of brings out the touchiness, you know, the, oh dear. It's not the topic that this goes down there very well with women. Often they get a bit excited, they get a bit upset. And that word, other word comes out, doesn't mean you're a doormat. That's what people so often say. No, doesn't mean you're a doormat. That's the thing that we seem to be afraid of. But what I wanted today is to really get to God's heart of what submission is. And it's nothing like that. So that's what we're going to go for today. But I've noticed, you know, I work at Clearong, as you know, and I often look through the marriage books, and there is nothing like what I'm going to talk about today in the marriage books. As far as I know, you know, I know the main marriage books that have been selling, and people just don't go there. It's too hard. So, but we're going to go there today because it's God's standard of what He wants in marriages, and that's what we're going to go for. And I think a lot of us women, if you're a bit like me, you think you're submissive, you think you're okay in that area, because maybe you don't criticise, or maybe, you know, you shut up sometimes. But it is a lot more than that, and in studying God's word on this and really taking part, I realised the huge chasm between what I thought was okay and what He thinks is okay and good. So, and also, you know, submission and with God's call on our life, it is always a call of humility, no matter whether we're man or woman. It is a call of humility to give over our rights, to forego, let go of those, to relinquish control of our own lives. That is a call of submission, but it's a call to every person under God to let go of what we think is right and to do it God's way. And so submission is about relinquishing control. It's looking to see our husbands flourish and become all that they can be in Christ. That is essentially the heart of submission for us. You know, it's not really about having, you know, what a lot of Christians say, that, you know, it's about having our dreams come true. Their mission is, you know, God wants to make all your dreams come true and everything. It's about us seeing our husband's dreams come true. That is what submission is for us, as far as we're concerned. And we will find that when we let go of ourselves and our dreams and focus on our husband, then we are allowed to become all that we are called to be as well. It's the amazing thing of God. You know, if it says the first will be, whoever wants to be first will be last, and whoever wants to be last will be first. That is the way of submission as well. We find ourselves when we submit. It's a great irony. But we go back to Genesis 3:16, and it says at the end there, you know, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And just like Kimmy, we saw on the scene, you know, where would she be without Brett? She loves Brett, she wants to be with Brett, but she wants to control him. And we have to face it, that's in the heart of us. We want to control our husbands. We have this notion that we know better, that we know better about how things should work, and that is our thing. And this is what most problems and tensions seem to come out of in marriage, is that idea that we, we know better, and that we want to control our husbands. You know, most tensions in women come out of that. But He's ruling over us. That's God's plan for us, is for Him to rule over us. You know, the battle of sex has come back. And the Greek, this word, submission, means to subject ourselves to. It's hypotasso. It literally means to stand under from. That's what submission literally means. But I'm going to go more into depth about the meaning of it, what it means for us. But, you know, it's a great thing. In this church, we stand under Gary. We submit to Gary. And he is the one who ultimately will cop the flak in front of God. He faces God for the shepherding of this flock, for Church on the Rock. He faces God ultimately in responsibility. And our husbands are like that. Ultimately, they are the ones that face God and are responsible for our families, not us. It is a great thing, it's a great relief for us, but to have our husbands, they are the ones that have the most awesome role of being responsible for our families. We don't have to carry that, but we try to carry that, and that's where we get into trouble. But that's what submission really is. And also, you know, it's not sitting back, allowing husbands to make tough decisions. It is actively being involved in praising them, respecting them, loving and honouring them. That's what I want to get to the heart of today. You know, recently when I went up to Mum and Dad, I listened to a CD of, you know, John Eldridge, who wrote Wild at Heart. And he was talking with a group of his male friends about what made them feel loved. And some women were sitting around listening to it, and they spoke later about it. But it was so interesting to hear what they had to say. And one man, we spoke about his wife, how they had to move into state because of ministry, but they were thinking about it, and they went to check out this new church and situation. He went with his wife. And at the end of the day, it was just too much for her, and she broke down. She was crying. And she said to him, though, don't pay attention to my tears, because my tears are just because I'm scared about the change, and I feel afraid, and I don't want to really lose my friends. But I trust you to do what God is telling you to do, and I want you to do that. And I will do whatever you ask me to do. Now that is an astounding view of submission. That truly is the heart of God's view of submission, because we are saying, not my will, but your will be done. And that's a shocking way of putting it, isn't it? Because it's like what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but your will be done. But we are called in Ephesians 5, as I said, as it says there, 22 to 24. We want to submit your own husband as to the Lord. So we are to have an attitude to our husbands as to the Lord. That's why it's fitting for us to say, not my will, your will be done. We let go of what we think is right and what we think we need, what we think our family needs, and we do it our husband's way, and we build him up in that. When a woman does that, I assure you, the power of God is incredible. But we have to realise, you know, that men are getting a very bad rap in society. We have to realise that men are being mocked, and it is especially true in Christian circles, I think. You know, the men from Mars, women from Venus, we start to adopt this, you know, men are so silly. You know, they're so, you know, men, all they need is, well, I think, you know, that home group on Wednesday night, we ask men, what would you feel, what makes you feel really loved? And no prizes to guess what Ken Mullen said first. But when he spoke a bit more about, you know, sex, he, you know, there's more to it, isn't there, too? And actually, you know, there's a depth. We have to realise there's a complexity about them. There's a real depth. They're not just these simple things. But if you think of, you know, Homer Simpson, he's a pathetic kind of figure of a man, isn't he? Father. And we think of, you know, Raymond, everyone loves Raymond, spends his time just trying to appease his mum and his wife. He'll do whatever it takes. Totally compromise himself just to have peace. You know, Brett, we saw there. And you know, so many other accounts. It's hard to think of a really good example of manhood in movies or TV or whatever. And I remember, you know, a Christian friend of mine, she was talking about it. I think she was just quite a light woman, but she said, oh, you know, it just seems like just feed them, give them lots of sex, and that, you know, keeps them happy. So is that what we've reduced our men to? Is that how we've trivialised them? If I ask my mum, that top ball of yours in the top paddock, I'm sure she'll give a similar answer. I mean, we've got to really, you know, think of our husbands with honour and respect. And as Christian women, we need to go against that view of society that men are like that and simple. They think of my sister and all the women, and they think they're the clever ones. They are the ones you go to when there's trouble. They are the wise ones. But we can't think that way. I mean, I'm not saying that the women here are not fantastic and wise and brilliant. I think they are. But the men are too, and we need to look to them and build them up. We need to genuinely encourage our men to be all that they can be in Christ. And do we realise how influential we are as women? You look at the women in the Bible, they have incredible influence, good and bad. You think of Jezebel, she chose to use her influence for bad. But the power of a woman's influence is incredible. We need to take that seriously. You know, but we come up with all the buts. But what if he's, you know, not good to me and all this stuff? And, you know, when Harry and Sarah come to, they have a bit of a fight. It's amazing when you go up and challenge them about it. And it's always, yeah, but he hit me first. Or, sorry. Or she, you know, she bit me first. So basically they're saying, I'm not responsible for what I did because they treated me bad first. And that's in the heart of us, isn't it? We say that too. But hang on, he doesn't treat me right, so how can I treat him right? Or, you know, we're always looking, but just as Mark and I say to Mary and Sarah, and just as God says to us, we alone are responsible for our behaviour and our responses. It's not dependent, ever, on how we are treated. In 1 Peter, Peter talks about submission, and he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable for God. So it's commendable when your husband is treating you poorly and you still submit. God loves that. God loves that. He honours that. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us. We go to Christ's standard, not the standard of man. Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled didn't revile in return, when he suffered he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. But we say, what if he doesn't do his best? What if he's lazy? You know, what if he won't discipline the kids? What if he's mean? What if he makes a bad decision? What if he fails and takes up women? Well, I tell you what, he won't hit rock bottom because he'll have the strength of a godly woman standing right beside him, telling him, you are not a failure in my eyes. You, I believe in you and you will pull us out of this. And how much better is he placed than the guy who has a wife there saying, I told you so. I knew that you would make a mistake. We need to make the choice to stand with our husbands in submission. You know, Jake, our camera team, said, okay, well, the men have shared about what makes him feel loved. Women, I want to ask you, what is hard in the area of submission? And we all have good answers. And one of the things that I have struggled with is the area of children and raising our children. This area has been a part. Because I have my beliefs about how kids should be raised, and Mark has had his beliefs how kids should be raised, and they weren't in agreement. But I was getting frustrated. I was getting angry inside. I was telling Mark what I thought, and he just wasn't getting it. He wasn't, you know, getting on board. And so I wasn't in submission to my husband. I wasn't under his mission. I wasn't standing with him. I wasn't believing him. I was believing that breakthrough would come when he got it my way. You know, he came in my way. But something happened. One night, Harry was upset with Mark. And, I have to tell you that something, my children had come and said to me something. They had a concern about that. And instead of honouring Mark, I agreed with my children. I said something like, you know what he's like, or something like that. I regret saying that. What confusion that brings into our children when mum is not in agreement with that. We have no idea how much that messes with our kids. I have no idea how much it messes with my kids back then. But God showed me, because one night that Harry was upset with Mark, and I went in and talked to him, and I prayed the Lord, the Spirit of God rose up in me, and I honoured Mark. I said, Harry, you have a great dad. He loves you. He believes in you. He is there for you, whether you think it or not. And out of me just came his honour. And it was like something really shifted in the spirit realm on that night. It was like my obedience to God gave permission for God to come and move in my family. Something amazing has happened in that area. And it was so good. Harry, I'm so excited for you because Harry has been so much happier since we talked about things and we got it all out since then. Something has shifted in all of us. I so believe in Mark's vision for Harry. Every week, Mark takes Harry now out and spends time with him and talks to him and mentors him. And I know I can trust him completely. I have no worries, no frustration anymore. The power of God when a woman honours her husband is incredible. When we relinquish that control, see, I thought, as I said, breakthrough would come, we must get it my way. But breakthrough actually came when I got it God's way. It was incredible. But what do we do when we have those genuine concerns? And I know for women, I don't know what's really going on in your families and in your marriage, essentially, and you know the private stuff that's going on. But sometimes we really do have a struggle and we don't know how to deal with it. There's a few things we need to do. The first thing I think is there's a problem with us women, and we try and stuff our husband in the "will always be there for me" basket. Only God ever can go in that basket. But we're constantly, like Kimmy would do, she's always trying to stuff bread into the "it will always be there for me" basket. We want our husband to, in a way, be our saviors and be our gods. That's why we get upset when they come home late. That's why we don't like them sometimes going out with other men. Because what about me, That's why, they're frustrated for these little things, because we're thinking, hang on, you're meant to be the one who's always there for me. But no, they can't be. They will always disappoint us if we try and do that, if we try and put them in that position. So we need to remember that to cut our hubby some slack and to go to God and start taking our husbands to God. Start blessing our husband by praying for him fervently. Going to God, and when we have those genuine concerns, we get down on our knees and we pray our hearts out. That's what we need to do. And we need to, I know some of you have seen the fireproof DVD already, but when that guy got filled with God, that then he could truly start to give of himself. That's what us women need to do. We need to constantly go to God and let him fill us and not expect that from our husbands. They can't ever do that. What God does for us, they can't ever do that. Psalm 108, 12 to 13 says, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread on our enemies," not our husbands. It's not saying that men are, our husbands are useless, but it's saying compared to God, they can't do any of the stuff that he can do in our lives. It's the power of God in our lives. We need to go to him and expect him to help us. Through him we will do valiantly. God work in our husband. You know, that next part of this 1 Peter 3, it says, I don't have that in front of me, but I think, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their lives when they observe your behaviour, your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. You know, we need to realise that we're not going to change our husbands. It's not our business to change our husbands. It's God's business to change our husbands if he needs to be changed. It's God's business. It's not us. We have to trust God. And we need to trust God at work in our husbands, and we need to let God have the freedom there and stop trying to get in the way of him doing that by constantly telling him what he needs to do. You know, when I first became a Christian and got really serious about God, I was married and I had terrible one year old. And thankfully, praise the Lord, I did a study with women on loving a husband, respecting a husband and all this stuff. And I tell you, it really changed the way I did things. I knew that I didn't any longer have to try and coerce my husband to come to church with me or anything like that. He wasn't a Christian at that stage. And I just knew that I needed to be silent and to be an example of Christ. And, you know, I wasn't bringing that, but that was my heart. And, you know, when I made that decision, it was incredible. That time was one of the most amazing times in my life. Mark would come home without me saying anything, with conviction all over him. Come home from work, just starting to talk about God. He wasn't a Christian at all, but conviction of God was all around him. He was interested. He wanted to find out more. When we allow God to do his work, power will come into our marriage. This is the thing. You know, and it doesn't, but sometimes we need to speak. It doesn't necessarily, submission doesn't necessarily mean we are silent. The men in that CD are listening to the, you know, John Eldridge, they were saying they like to be challenged. They want to be challenged by their wives. And a good leader will want to be challenged, will want to hear what his followers have to say. Not men, all men are to that point yet. True, but we have godly wisdom, and you know we are to share that. And but it's very important the way we do it. You know, there is a way that we can sound very negative, isn't it? And critical. We need to say it in a way that we believe in our husbands. We believe they can be all they are called to be in Christ. That is okay. It's helping them flourish and become who they are meant to be. The last thing I really wanted to talk to you about is a very important thing, and it's, you know, it's the internet. But there's a lot of articles lately in the paper because this woman, Bettina Arndt, has come out with a book where she diarised the sexual lives of 98 ordinary couples in Australia. And she said, I was reading this article. It's been in all the papers, you know, Sydney Morning Herald and the Newcastle Herald. And she said, the article says, the most powerful responses came from men as their frustrations poured out in a howl of disappointment and anger. Basically, these days, unless women want sex, it just doesn't happen. Now, this is an astounding thing in our society, and it's a result of our pleasure, our desire for pleasure, and the thing that if it doesn't feel right, well, I'm just not going to do it. That is not the call of Christianity. That is not the call of God on our life. We are not about that. And sex is about serving the other person. No matter what you hear, it really is. It's about serving your partner and allowing them to have great pleasure. Now, you know, I'm not talking about this from a point of judgment, because those who know me as a woman who has baggage, a lot of baggage. Now, I came into my marriage with lots of baggage. My family is baggage. I had a lot to learn. I had screwed up notions about marriage. It has taken me a long time to work through all this stuff. But Isaiah 61, 4 says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And I'm sure I experienced the desolations of many generations in that area. But God has repaired the broken cities in my life. He has done an amazing work in my life, and I've experienced incredible freedom in that area. And it's so good. And I implore you, I encourage you to go to Him. The worst thing would be if we were struggling in that area and we just sit there, you know, we do nothing. We cannot sit there. It is ungodly. If we forget the word of God, Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God created sex to be a beautiful expression of intimacy. It is one of the greatest things we do in this world. It is meant to be fantastic. It is meant to be a wonderful thing that we do. He gave it as a gift to us. The world has screwed it all up, and it has become a very damaging thing in many people's lives. But it is meant to be amazing. And we as Christians need to know that. And we need to live that out. In 1 Corinthians 7:5, it says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of control. And we have to realize that men do have a sexual appetite. And that if they are continually refused or rejected, then we, women, we have to take some of that responsibility that they are vulnerable to the temptations that Satan, you know, he's like a lion. We know that he's roaming around the world looking for men in the vow who have wives that are constantly refusing it because they are vulnerable. It's ultimately the man's responsibility if he falls into sin, without a doubt. He is responsible. But women, we need to help our husbands. We need to help protect him against this by offering ourselves to him to service. It's an act of love. You know, I've just been through Mark and I's mental nightmare that's gone on for a few years now. And at times it's put a real strain in that area in our life. I have to encourage you men though that Mark has never once put pressure on me. He's never once made me feel undesirable. He's never once made me feel like I've annoyed him or angered him or let him down. He's always continued to make me feel so beautiful and that I can trust him. And now that we're in a better place, I tell you, he's reaping the benefits he's done. Because I feel so much more confident. I know that I can trust him in that. It is a vulnerable position, men. When women come to you in that way, we are at our most vulnerable. We are at our most exposed. You don't get more intimate than that. But when we know that it's a safe place, it really helps. It really helps. But I know that, you know, in this article, Bettina and I said that, you know, a lot of the women complained about low libido and it made that an excuse. But she said it was amazing when they had an affair, their libido picked up. So Bettina asked her, well, if you want to fix your libido, go and have an affair. I don't recommend that. But the thing is, it means, it's a great thing, it means our libido is psychological, not physical. It means that the resistance is up here. We can do something about it. So, you know, I've been married for 16 years, and there's been times I go to God and I say, Lord, please restore the passion. Restore what I thought for Mark from the first time I saw him. Restore, reignite the fire. Help me to love him all over again and see him the way that you see him. All fresh and, you know, just help me, Lord. And actually, he answers that prayer. Big time. He answers that that through. And I know that it can be a struggle for some of us. It has been a struggle for me at times. But as I said before, we can't just sit there. We can't just let it be in a bad place. We need to talk to someone. We need to be accountable to someone. Women, I want to encourage you to do something. Start to do something. Start praying. Because God wants so much more for you. And I believe we need a spirit of excellence in that area. We both need it. Women, we need it. Because it builds security, it builds trust, it builds confidence, it builds our sense of inner beauty and our fulfillment. Now, I just want to finish with a word to our men today, because we've been talking about submission for the first time. You know, submission is always a choice that someone makes. It's never something that you can enforce on someone. In the word, you know, when Peter spoke, he always spoke to the slaves. He spoke to us as we submit to authority. He spoke to the wives. He never spoke to the masters. He didn't say, masters, ensure that your slaves are submitting. He didn't say, husbands, ensure that your wives are submitting. Because you can't enforce that. But women, it is a choice we make to honour our husbands, to make sure that they are flourishing, to see them become everything God has called them to be, to become the men of God that we know that they're called to be. That's our role. And that's the thing. When we try and carry that mantle of being in control, of thinking I know better, then it becomes burdensome for us. That's when we struggle. That's when the joy goes. That's when the peace goes out the window. But the mantle of being the head of the father, head of the home, is on our husband's shoulders. And we need help. That is a huge... Michael's going to talk in 2 weeks from that. It is a huge responsibility. We need to help them in that. And not try and take their own control. So let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you so much for what you've told us today. And Lord, for the conviction that you brought, the challenge. Father, I pray for us as Christian women that we might fight for our men and fight to honour them and cherish them and love them and respect them and help them to become everything that you are desiring them to be in you, Lord. Father, we ask your forgiveness that we have settled for a weak standard of submission. But Lord, we want to do it your way. We want to take this into our lives and we want to be changed. And Father, I pray you'll do that and give us strength. It's not a call for weakness, Lord. It's not a call for weakness. It's not a call to make men the center of our lives or anything like that. Lord, it's a call to put you first and to relinquish control out of our own lives, the call you put on every single Christian person. Help us to have the courage to do that, Lord.